Welcome to the Craft Beer Cast. I'm Josh. That's Jeff.
Hey, what's happening? Wells is, he was running a little late tonight. He got stuck. If you have a mobile business that you like to come to people's houses and apartments and whatever and do work, especially if it's a very small parking lot, like, maybe be mindful where you're parking and don't block someone in.
Okay, right?
Yeah. Little PSA there.
Hey, hi. Yeah.
But Wells is here.
Sorry for the ear tickles. I forgot to get Wells to get his mic plugged in. So there's a little ear tickle, but that's okay. I'll try to edit it a little bit. I will. I actually will. I promise you I will try to edit it a little bit.
You look at me like I'm mad at you for not editing as if I continue to listen to the show.
Oh, yeah.
Like there was
true
that
story.
Day, like I kind of missed the days of driving to the office where I could listen to the show.
Yeah.
Do you? And no,
you
know, I
say,
I don't.
Do you
like,
really?
I almost got through with a straight face. It was that was a close one.
So anybody been up to anything beer-wise?
No.
Since we last recorded?
Drinking a lot of it.
Yes. That too.
I'm going back and trying to think through everything. Like, yeah, no, I've been fairly light on beers, a little bit more liquor in the last week or so.
I know this isn't really an on-mic conversation, but fucker, we're going to have it. Southern Spirits, I know beer selection's kind of shit. Is their liquor selection gotten any better than it used to be?
Oh, yeah. In State Line, too, both of them, you know, like... There's a pretty decent selection there. I mean, okay. I always walk in and I go, I don't have the money to buy everything I want to buy, and then I end up walking out with nothing. Like, you know, like, great job.
Fair enough. I might be popping down in that neck of the woods this weekend, so yeah. I grab me a bourbon or two.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, they've got some fun stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Wells, you haven't done anything. I've, of course, done shit all.
I'll also say, like, after like two straight weekends with Scott being here.
Oh, yeah. You kind of need a little bit of a break.
I haven't done anything beer related because I did a lot of beer related.
I did all the beer things.
And I'm like, wait a sec. Actually, this past weekend was roasting for research.
Oh, yeah.
So, tons of fun. They raised a ton of money.
Awesome.
Really good turnout. They had their new root beer hard seltzer on. That was fun for people to like root beer.
Do you like root beer?
I don't.
Okay.
Do you like root beer?
Heck yeah, I do.
To me, it's like pumpkin pie or bananas, like once a year, and I'm good.
Okay. Fair.
But couple three pints of face planted of hops while you're out there, and I got myself a real nice steam burn. It was a lot of fun. Good times.
Nice.
How nice is it?
I mean, it's about like yay, you know.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, that's a real nice one. Yeah.
Jeff's a leper.
I mean, the finger hasn't completely fallen. Oh, there it goes. Oh,
no. Leper, hardly know her.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Speaking of oh, no.
I know. This one this one actually hurts a lot.
Yeah. Revolution is closing down their Logan Square Brew Pub after nearly 15 years. Now, you two gentlemen have... had the chance to go to the Second City and have gone to Revolution before.
Yeah.
Mr. Wells, did you go to this one?
Yeah, I walked from one to the other.
Okay.
Nice.
So, it was a ton of fun.
So you went to both.
Yeah.
Which did you like better?
Okay. So the beer selection at the Kedzie, like the main production facility, so much more available.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's the way it is locally with Heist's original location. Not having the same...
as Barrel Arts, yeah.
As the Barrel Arts thing. So that's kind of the same thing. Like, the production facility has everything on tap.
Yeah.
Yep. And the brew pub had most of it, half of it on tap. So I think for that aspect of it, advantage production facility, advantage Kedzie. However, the food was so freaking good.
Oh, yeah, it was.
The atmosphere was fantastic. I had... a really good time walking, in between the two spots. So advantage Logan Square Brew Pub.
Yeah.
All right.
Plus, like, the production facility, I guess we caught it at, like, a weird time in the afternoon or something. It was cavernous and empty, and I just wanted, like, a nice cozy spot. So, I don't know. Production facility, it's a tie. But doesn't mean I want the brew pub to close.
Right.
Yeah. Well, my experience the last two times I was in that facility, in the brew pub, it was usually pretty empty, not very busy.
What, the production facility or the brew pub?
The brew pub.
Okay.
And so, maybe high rent,
Yeah.
In combination with everything else, made it a, you know, a tough spot to legitimize keeping it open.
I feel it. And them saying, look, you know, 15 years is a long time to keep a restaurant running.
That's also true.
That's very, like, I'm not going to argue with that. When they put it in those terms,
yep.
15 years is a very long time for any place to stay open, especially a restaurant, especially a brew pub.
Yeah, I mean, I look at, you know, the Gus's Sir Beef, however long that thing had been standing at the corner there.
How long it had been there standing on the corner and you ignored it and never once went inside.
Yeah, no, because it...
And then he cried on Reddit when it closed.
No, I didn't cry on Reddit when it closed, but... I also look at some of the restaurants that are a little further down Monroe Road that, Jeff, I don't know if you've ever actually seen because you don't typically go down that far, but there's like the Tipsy Burro and there's Lupe's and, or Loopy's. I call it Lupe's, but those have been around forever. And I get that, like, you get to a point where owning a restaurant's not cheap. And if your rent's high, the overhead on a restaurant is horrible.
And it's gotten worse.
Yeah.
So. Restaurants are failing faster than breweries, although, you know, yeah. that doesn't get talked about in the same breath because it's harder to keep up, I think.
Yeah.
It's easier to keep up with breweries closing because they're just...
There's onesie twosies.
Yeah, there aren't as many.
Yep. Versus restaurants.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, right. This absolutely is... you know, this is sad, but, you know, I look forward to my next trip and going to Kedzie instead. I just got to figure out how and what to eat ahead of time.
Right. I mean, I'm sure, like, again, obviously I've never been there, but these aren't the only two things there, right? There's probably restaurants and shit in between.
I hear they might have pizza there in that town.
In Chicago?
Yeah.
No.
Nah. That's not pizza. It's casserole.
That's
a lasagna.
That's pizza.
It's a hot dish.
It's a damn good pizza, too.
Mm.
It is, man.
Why is it I have, like, strong feelings pro for Detroit-style pizza, but anti for Chicago?
I don't know, because Detroit pizza is lasagna.
Depending on what you get.
What?
No, it's, no, no.
It's like breadsticks, if anything.
Yeah.
With pepperoni on top.
I don't know. I could fight about pizza, because fuck Detroit pizza. Chicago pizza is
all right, game. I will fight about pizza. Let's go, bitch.
Let's go.
Welcome to Craft Pizza Cast, where we talk about, well, it's not even craft, right? I mean, it's just like, you know, macro, yeah. like...
Macro pizzas.
Big box, yeah.
All right, so moving on into some other not-so-fun news. Asheville is still having a lot of clean water problems, and it's starting to become just a very bad issue all around for, of course, living folk who live there that may not have access to clean potable water. But then, on the other side, all of the breweries that are there.
Yeah, I didn't realize how long it was going to take for... I don't know, an entire city's water system to get back up and running?
Yeah.
And or for a reservoir to fall clear?
Yeah.
Or for, I don't know. I mean, and again, I couldn't imagine being an Asheville or Western North Carolina area resident and just, it sucks.
Oh,
there's,
yeah.
There's so, no two ways about it. But
no.
As if, though, from a business standpoint, plus we are a craft beer podcast, breweries are going to be front and center for purposes of this show. So I'm not coming off like I'm not an actual heartless monster. I'm just going to talk about the business aspect of things.
Right.
And I mean, we've seen so much in the way of flood damage and this not even having potable water for the breweries that didn't get washed away.
Yeah.
Like so many more that didn't even flood.
Yep,
that are still standing and would have been able to produce, like, we're just going to see more closures from folks that just can't afford to wait this out.
Well, in this article, too, it goes to mention the unfortunate real aspect of Asheville, in reality, was still kind of recovering from COVID. And
right.
The fact that there wasn't really tourism there, which is what that town thrives on more than anything else, is... Yeah. Tourism
and begging.
And
I'm sorry.
All of a sudden, you go from
what's the drum circle economy looking like?
You're right.
You go from not having access to that for a couple of years to then it slowly starting to get back to, I guess we'll put it in quotes, normalcy. And then this 1,000-year flood out of nowhere hits and has just completely decimated parts of Western North Carolina. And like Wells said, has fucked up reservoirs. like Highwire is having to bring in water trucks, and I'm not talking like a little, you know, I don't know, 20, 30 gallon thing. We're talking 5, 6, 7,000 gallons of water to try to keep brewing, which is insane.
And cannot be cheap.
No, not at all.
So you're already having a problem with, I would imagine, foot traffic, and especially with lack of tourism, and now your costs are skyrocketing. I mean, like, it's...
Yeah, because you're having to truck water in just to be able to do your thing. And, you know, it goes on in this article, and I'll scroll down so you can all see it, but it even quotes the price of a water truck can it be anywhere from $5,000 to $7,000. So $5,000 to $7,000 to just be able to brew beer. And that doesn't include paying your employees and everything else that goes into brewing a beer. You're now, like, to Jeff's point, you're adding in this extra cost just to keep the lights on.
That's just wild.
It's wild. Like, Burial posted earlier today that they're canning Surf Wax for the first time in 43 days.
Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was way off in those numbers. It's $50,000 to $70,000 to truck in water. Not $5,000 to $7,000. $50,000 to truck in water just to try to keep going.
Yeah.
That's insane.
A spokesperson for the chamber says she thinks the high prices are linked to the logistics of transporting large amounts of water.
You don't
no
say.
No shit, Sherlock.
So the high price of transporting water might be linked to the high price of transporting water.
Wow. Great job,
cool,
RoboCop.
Cool.
Just
no
makes
doubt.
Me want to shoot somebody in the dick.
Yes, okay. Repeatedly. One other point that I will make really quickly before we move on, something that it does mention in this article is that there are some Asheville places that are opening back up.
Dissolver's back.
Yeah, Dissolver's being one of them. You know, obviously, I don't know the logistics of getting into Asheville right now. I don't know if it's still a challenge, but if it isn't, and you are in North Carolina, I highly recommend you try to get yourself up there just to try to help support that local economy if you can. Wow. Well, it's like jump back.
We're drinking a really good beer. Of course it is.
But, you know, if you can, if you were able to, get up there, spend a Saturday or spend a Sunday. Just try to help those folks out however you can. Please, please, please. And, of course, if you're not in a space where you can't do that, like, buy from Asheville breweries. Like, that's one of the things that I personally have been trying to do more of is if there is stuff in my local bottle shop from Asheville, I will grab it first before I touch anything else. Now, okay. Granted, they already got paid, so it doesn't really matter, but...
Fair, still.
But you're supporting it, which, you know, then potentially incents further buys.
Yes.
So anytime that they can, you know, they can bring more product in.
Yeah, exactly.
It's good for, it's good for the community.
Exactly. Man, this is just like the kick in the dick, and I'm the one that put these stories in this
seriously,
order.
Seriously, man.
This is my fault.
What the heck, Josh?
It might have been a rough day today.
Ugh. Yeah.
And I just wanted to get all
so
this news
you had
out
a bad
of the way.
Day. You had?
Yes, I did. What's going on with Wicked Weaswell?
Well, the Funkatorium has been closed.
What?
Well, yeah, the sour barrel aging facility.
I know. What? Like, the world famous, like, everybody goes to Asheville, and even though everybody hates Wicked Weed, they've closed the Funkatorium.
Well, duh. Of course, they closed, like, Asheville because
I know.
Of...
I know.
What are...
I was...
Sorry, I'm not picking up on your sarcasm.
That's fine.
It's mainly because he's not doing a very good job with
it. No. So, anyway, they're getting ready to reopen the Funkatorium after it's been shut down since September 27th. And anyway, hey, yeah, let's call everybody in for a mandatory meeting, and y'all can stop doing the reopen prep because we're going to stay closed indefinitely. And, I mean, that's fair. But what really chafed me about this whole thing is, but don't worry, when we do reopen,
you can reapply
for your job.
Yep.
Like, why not just hire people back?
So, from the corporate America side of things, you probably have some good employees, you probably have some bad employees.
Sure.
And this is an easy way to level set the playing field, and then when the new the good employees, if they haven't already found jobs they'd rather be at, if and when they come back, you hire them. Real easy. The ones that you didn't like, well, maybe they get ghosted.
And maybe, is Wiggedwee doing them a favor by allowing them to be on unemployment? Or I would have thought they would have been on unemployment by, like, for the last couple months.
Right.
Anyway, that kind of sucks.
Well, not only does it kind of suck, but, I mean, let's face it, the Funkatorium, half my bad sarcasm aside, is the main reason, like, people still go to Wiggedwee, at least from what I hear on the online circles. Like,
the brew pub is the main draw.
Is it still?
Okay. And that's wild to think that, like, Wiggedwee is the number two tourism driver to Asheville behind Biltmore.
Still?
I mean, I haven't seen fresh stuff from Asheville's Chamber. But,
right.
But
that's crazy.
Yeah. What else is stepping up?
Drum circles.
Drum circles.
I mean,
Dissolver, Truve.
Truve.
Turvy.
I hate you so much. Turve.
Turve.
Turvy.
Turvy. Burial. I mean,
true.
Yeah.
I mean, I always felt like the opposite was the case. Anytime I talked to anybody about beer and they talked about going to Asheville, they're always like, hey, we got to go to the Funkatorium. And I'm like, you can get sour beer anywhere. I'm not saying their sour beer isn't good, but you're buying AB InBev's sour beer.
Well, and I would say that's what I always heard too, is the Funkatorium for the sour beers. That's why people would go to that specific spot.
Yeah. It was sour beer mecca, 100%. And it really chafed me that, you know, morals and everything kind of kept me from going back.
Yeah, I went pre-buyout, and it was, you know, exactly as well as describes it. You know, it's just like a ton of taps, and they're all sour. You would hate it, Josh.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hate it.
Yeah. And
I'm surprised you're not getting reflux right now just thinking about
they're
it.
I might be.
So good.
They're all so good.
And then on top of it, now that it being macro-owned, like, I'd have a conniption fit on the floor.
Correct.
I would be,
yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, you know, as per usual, like, even though it's AB InBev owned, these are still real people with real jobs that now don't have them, and that really sucks.
Yeah, and there's, and I probably closed the article a little too soon. There was one point that I wanted to make that not only is the Funkatorium closing, the restaurant that's attached to it is closing as well indefinitely, and a couple of people have left the restaurant since the purchase, just stating that, you know, hey, micromanaging became too much. Oh, hey, what do you know? A big corporation micromanages things? Shocker.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Let's talk about Asheville one more time, shall we?
Please.
Because this story irritated the hell out of me. So,
this is the Happy Cheery Show one, everybody. Glad you're with us.
Oh, I know.
Yes.
Don't worry. We'll get, like, plenty loosened up and hopefully come back with some actually good sarcasm and maybe a joke or two. Anyway, Virginia ABC has reached out to a couple of breweries that are doing a good deed and, you know, doing fundraising events, trying to raise money for Asheville and various nonprofit organizations that are providing aid to the community. And the Virginia Alcoholic Beverage Control Authority, we're just going to say Virginia ABC, said, like, per... basically, this type of, like, X amount of every purchase incentivizes problem drinking and is illegal.
Cool.
So,
fuck off.
So if you're doing, like, oh, we just made a beer and all proceeds from this purchase are going to, or a dollar per pint or whatever goes to this nonprofit, that's been shut down in the state of Virginia. So... fuck.
Look, you want to say, you know, that there's a slippery slope. By allowing this, we're going to say that we're going to allow other things. Okay, whatever. Past that, like, as you said earlier, Josh, this is a once-in-a-thousand-year flood.
Right.
Have a freaking heart, Virginia.
Well, didn't they just make weed legal over there, too? Like, come on.
Sounds like the ABC needs to take advantage of that.
Right? Chill the fuck out. For Christ's sake.
Maybe you just look like, I understand. It's the principle of the thing. And what's the point of the law if you aren't going to enforce it? Same thing as the copyright.
To me, it's funny when we, like, you know, like, subjectively choose when we want to enforce morality on things.
Yes. That. So much that. Ugh.
Maybe.
Well, I am very sorry that I just put all the bad news in episode one, but man, it has just been a fucking day.
Do we want to do that thing where we were going to kick Josh in the nuts? We could just do that real quick. That'd be...
No, I never got paid. I never got paid for that. So if I got paid for it, yes.
All right, fine.
Yeah, forget burning sage in between shows. I might just boof it.
All right, are we ready for break?
Apparently so.
We'll be back in 30. Time for Buy No Buy. Jeff, how does that work?
Well, if I'm not pouring beer.
I know. I'm sorry.
We've been drinking beer throughout the show. We'll talk about whether we are going to, do we like this beer? Do we not like this beer? So it's real simple and easy. Would we buy this beer with our own hard-earned money in this economy?
In this economy?
That's right. Up first, one of the weirdest beers to cross our collective palates in a while.
Yep.
Monday Night Brewing's Chef Series Ford Fry, which I guess was a collaboration with this one particular chef. This is a salt and pepper pilsner.
Uh-huh.
It is, it's really interesting. I keep going back and forth as to whether I really like it or whether it's just kind of like a novelty act. If you like salt and pepper on your fries, or if you like salt and pepper potato chips, like, you will love this beer. I like it. I would probably buy, you know, a pack of these. I'm not going to buy a keg anytime soon, but it's fun. I like it. I buy. Wells?
I've gone through 2-4 packs already. I guess I could go for a third. I haven't swung by in a couple of weeks. It's really good. It's very much peppercorn dominant, and I think that the salt kind of helps with the mouthfeel a little bit. But boy, this is a fun beer, and we don't get a lot of fun beers on the show, so whenever we do, I kind of tend to hone in on them. And I don't know, this is a short list for my best of, but I have a feeling it'll be an honorable mention
for sure.
But it's tasty as hell.
George,
what you doing, Josh?
So, Jeff, you know this. Listeners, you may not. Wells and I, we like to rub butts on every other month, or every month, technically. More specifically, we play D&D.
Wait, what the fuck? Where was I when this butt rubbing was happening?
Well, it's going to happen.
Well, again, remember that shot you took earlier?
It's going to happen in a couple of weeks, bud. So we're over for our October session, and Wells pulls this out of his fridge, and he's like, Josh, check this out. And I'm like,
salt, oh man, pepper
beer. This is gonna be so gross. Yep. Like,
salt
immediate
and pepper.
Yeah, my immediate reaction is gonna go, I'd probably rather have Malort. I didn't say it out loud, but in my head, I'm like, I'd probably rather have Malort.
False.
Insanely false. Like, the second I took a sip of this, I was like, oh my god, Wells, you need to save one of these for the show. And he's like, I already have. And I'm like, good, because this is one of the funnest beers I have had in a very long time. Like, we are douchebags a lot about beer.
Speak for yourself.
Well,
you're a tremendous douchebag.
Yeah, I am.
Don't sell yourself short, Josh. You're a tremendous douchebag.
But there are times where a beer is just fun. Yeah. And this is that to a T. It's just fun. It is well made. It's weird, but it's weird in a good way. So, yes, I will buy this.
In a cool way.
All right, next beer up.
Next beer up, thanks, Scott, for a bunch more fresh hop beer coming your way. From Machine House, this is their Fresh Hop Strata Pale Ale. It's a perfectly fine pale ale, 4%. Nice, light, easy drinking, but I want a little more. It's a pale ale, so I get it, right? But I want a little more out of this. It's just not enough for me. No buy. Wills?
I thought it was pretty decent. It was a weirdly a good follow to the salt and pepper beer, but is there enough in this to kind of keep me coming back to it on its own? Not really. It wasn't bad, but I don't know if it's enough for me to buy it. Josh, what you gonna do with this one?
Yeah, same thing. It's not bad, right? Like, I wouldn't kick this out of bed for eating crackers, but I also wouldn't invite it back to bed in the first place. So, yeah, I guess no buy.
All right, next up from Lumberbeard. This is Disco Weapon, a fresh hop West Coast pale ale featuring Centennial hops. This is more of what I wanted from the last beer. It's got a little more body to it. It's got a little more kick. It also has the Lumberbeard logo, which makes me happy. So it's a buy for me. Wells?
Same thing. Sorry. Same as what you just said. This is a little bit more my speed. It's a little bit more aggressive. It makes me want to pay attention to it a little bit more than the Fresh Hop Strata. I like it. It's still an incredibly easy drink. I could see myself doing a whole 4-pack of this. Josh, what you doing?
I don't know. I am on the fence with this one.
Okay. I mean, that's fine.
I'm going back for a fresh taste.
Oh, okay.
It's got good sharp bites to it, right? But there's just something that is sitting on my tongue that I can't quite explain, that it's just not 100% clicking for me. So I'm going to, believe it or not, I am going to no buy a Lumberbeard beer.
Well, that's fine. It just means you're cut off from now on. No more for you.
What happened? All right, next beer up.
Next beer up from Single Hill, part of their Hop Harvest 2024 series. This is Fresh Luck. It has Hopsteiner, Allura, VGF, Amarillo, Loftus, and Coleman Simcoe, Carpenter Sabro, Roy 218, Haas Sabro in 1019, and CLS Zappa.
Was there one in there that was called Roy?
I think that's the name of the farm.
Okay.
Like, Roy Farms.
I never went back to the carpet store.
One of us got it.
That's fair.
Okay.
It's a single hill. It's a fresh hop. It has a lot of the hallmarks of what I want out of a single hill beer. Single hill beer. Love this beer. Got the t-shirt. Big fan. Thanks, Scott. Big buy.
So this was the one that made me literally take a physical step back and go, what the hell is this? Because this tastes like honeydew melon in all the best possible ways, and I love it to pieces. It is hoppy as hell. This does taste like the produce aisle in the supermarket in a positive way. I really enjoyed this. This is a huge buy for me. Josh, what you doing with it?
Yeah, this is vegetal in a good way. This is fruity in a good way. This is hoppy in a good way. This is like, yes, yes, and yes. I very much enjoy this. This is an absolute buy. Huge mega buy. Next beer up.
Next beer up from Machine House. Machine House is out of Seattle, Washington. This is the Fresh Hop Strata IPA. We have the pale ale. This is the IPA version.
Okay.
Here you go. American style IPA brewed with freshly picked Strata hops from Roy Farms in Moxie, Washington. Roy rules. This beer isn't my best. I don't like. No thanks. No buy. There's something weird in it. It's not. I mean, theoretically, should be pretty much similar to the pale, just maybe like a slightly stronger version or whatever, but there's something in this that doesn't sit right with me, so no thanks, no bye.
Do you want to know what it is?
Tell me.
It's diacetyl.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm unfortunately the local resident super taster for that one. I hate diacetyl more than anything. This isn't like oxidation where I'm like, oh, cool, all right.
And Wells, I know I've asked you this before.
Butter.
Yes.
That's so gross.
Yes, so for those that don't know, diacetyl does give off a buttery popcorn taste. And depending on your taste buds, it can almost give off like a movie theater butter quality, which is great on popcorn, not so much in a beer.
Yep. I don't even need a second sampling of this. I should have poured out what little was poured to me the first time around, but I stuck through it. I didn't want to defile the dump bucket for some reason.
You're weird.
So bad. So yeah, I'm not gonna buy it. Josh,
well, the dump bucket got defiled because I sat there and watched Jeff just pour almost half a can into it.
I mean,
because yikes, yeah. this was a mess. Like, the pale ale wasn't bad, right? Like, I wouldn't kick it out of bed.
No issue. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not buying the pale ale, but it was fine.
Yeah, this was
fine, but forgettable.
Yep. This was something different. Like, yes, the diacetyl and ooh, this was a mess. You go from bad to this? All right, final beer up.
So we got part of our Deepwood season pass in.
Woohoo!
And one of those, I guess a freebie they threw in, was this new beer called X-Hero Juicy Rush IPA. This is 3 weeks old.
Really?
It is a stovepipe, so it's a nice, you know, small, like 19... 18.2 ounces.
You know, like you do.
Especially when it's a 10% IPA.
Jesus Christ.
So if you're getting a little, like, alcohol burn, that's what it is.
Okay.
So
much is making sense now.
It is juicy. It is orangey almost more than anything to me. It's just a lot of, like, orange pith. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of... was that slurp tsunami that Noda had out? Like, it just,
yeah,
it was just
yeah.
Like, and maybe that's like, maybe it's the yeast, maybe it's whatever. Like, it's not a bad beer. I don't know. I mean, like, Revolution's like, oh, yes, you know, regular beer? Ha ha. Here's a 10% version of it.
Surprise, motherfuckers.
Hey, yeah. Hey, you know, regular stouts? Well, how about an 18% stout? You know, like, whatever. But, I don't know that I'll ever have the chance to buy this again. And even if I did, it is a perfectly decent beer. It has a market, but I'm not buying any more of it.
Well,
I appreciate the fact that it was a freebie. Well,
this really makes me, like, I could see myself buying this if I'm going to a party and I completely forgot to, like, buy beer at the store and, ah, crap. There's like, oh, I can get like two cans of this 10% IPA and just get shit-faced. And that's like my only case use for this. I'm not drinking this. It's not like bad, but this is definitely better than New Belgium's like Juice Force, Voodoo Ranger, what the fuck ever that awful thing was.
It is, because it still exists.
I know.
And it sells better than anything.
This is... It's a lot, and I'm not here for it, so no buy. Josh, what you doing?
So, off mic, I said this tastes like a juicy fruit. I'm a little wrong on that. This actually almost reminds me of a homemade Orange Julius.
Oh, okay.
Not in a good way.
Sure.
But
sure.
In that way of, there is a shit ton of orange in here, and I can't tell if this is... like orange extract or if there's actual orange in it.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't feel like that's actual orange.
And maybe that's what's throwing me off.
But I also feel like it's got to be something to do with that yeast. Because again, like it really...
like a thiolized something.
Yeah, like it's really hitting me like that slurp tsunami.
Yeah.
Which was their imperial slurp surfing or whatever.
Right. I mean, here's the sad truth these days, at least when it comes to Rev, like, I know the anti-hero stuff we used to enjoy, but there's better IPAs out there now.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, if you're local and you can get it easily and it's local, like, this is a perfectly fine beer.
Yes.
You know, in this market, like, it's, you're not going to find it. And when I go back to Indiana here in a couple of weeks and whatever, if I see it, like,
just ignore it. Yeah.
There's going to be other stuff on the shelf that I'm going to want instead.
Well, and to Wells's point, like, I almost feel like this is our buddy Julian would find this in a gas station and go,
hey, yeah, that sounds good. 10%
IPA. Yeah, it's 10% IPA. Let's go. It's and
dollars per turn.
And yeah, exactly. And then
bang for your buck. This is.
And then he lets you try it, and you go, oh, bro. Oh, bro.
I'm glad that one of us likes this.
Right. Because it ain't me, Chief. That is a no buy. All right, Jeff, it's time for I Tap That. How does that work?
Oh, sorry. Hang on a second.
You're fine.
Stream. Okay. Juicy Rush IPA Showcase, a cinch surge of candied orange and juicy peach flavor. I didn't get a lot of peach.
No, I got no peach. I just got orange.
And it says something, a smooth, high gravity, smooth, easy landing. And I'm like, no, that was absolutely boozy AF.
Yeah, that'll get you turned and turned.
But also, like, if, let's be real, we've all had those days, nights, whatever. This sometimes may be what you want.
I don't know.
Look at, man, after the first half, you're not tasting anything anyway.
Eh, all right.
And then, you know, that 10% is going to start kicking you. And
then next thing you know, you're making weird phone calls or DMs to Jeff.
I still have that voicemail from you, by the way.
All right. So anyways, time for I Tap That. How
I Tap
that
is, what's our favorite beer of this entire lineup? What would we like to have a keg of? In my case, it is the Single Hill. Again, been there, done that, bought the t-shirt. Thanks, Scott, for sending all these great fresh hot beers, but that Single Hill is my precious.
Well, Mr. Wills.
Single Hill in a landscape of IPA, crowded landscape of IPAs, the show definitely stood out, but Josh, you should know me better. You know for a fact I'm going for the dang salt and pepper beer, because what's the one that I actually
it, you
would
do the,
want
you
on tap at my
and
home?
Pepper.
Salt and pepper.
There you go. Thank you.
If I still had a kegerator, I would be researching, like, how can I get this? How can I get a keg of this? Should I start home brewing and just put fucking peppercorns in everything I have? I don't know.
Which is weird, because I feel like I've had a beer before that had peppercorns in it, and it was gross. But it could have been because it was a Saison. And to me, Saison is the, we made a beer, it was supposed to be this kind of a beer, but it really isn't that kind of a beer, so we're just going to call it a Saison. Remember that era of the brewery world?
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally.
You never know what you're
going
to get.
Yup.
I mean, that era is still going on if you venture far enough out in the suburbs.
Very true.
Josh, what you doing?
I'm very sorry. You're right. I should have coded you, but I really thought the Single Hill was going to get a clean sweep from the three of us, because, man, that thing did things to my tongue that a beer hasn't done to my tongue in a while. And that salt and pepper beer did, too, don't get me wrong, but this did more. So,
fair.
I mean, I know it would be impossible to get a keg of this, but if I could get a keg of it to put in old Keezer boy over here, I would. So that's where I am landing, as Jeff is fiddling with the boxes and things and throwing his cooler on the ground.
I'm not a part of your system. I threw it on the ground.
Happy birthday to the ground.
That's right.
We're at the end of the show. Where are we at?
Come check us out on the interwebs. Go to craftbeercast.com. You can support our Patreon via that area, or patreon.com/craftbeercast. We've got a Facebook if anybody cares about that.
Keep going. That reminded me of something about
Patreon. That was all I was going to say. Then I do my typical, hey, Wells, where are you? And he's like, I'm at all the Wells. And I'm like, hey, Josh, where are you? And he's like, I'm nowhere. We'll see you all next Thursday.
That too, but Patreon's doing something fucky. Just fucking leave Patreon, I guess, at this point. Like, I know it sounds crazy as a podcast creator that would like to have a Patreon, but they're jacking up their fees and they're blaming other platforms for it, and they can go fuck themselves. Welcome to the inside of being a podcaster. We'll talk to you all next Thursday. Oh, yeah. Don't forget about our subreddit, /r/craftbeercast. Rate and review.